Countering the Corrupt, the What, Who, Where, Why, and How To of Countering Corruption. Written and narrated by Paul Hoffman and sponsored by the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung. Dedication. For the activists, the whistleblowers, and all who suffer in places in which the rule of law is so fragile that human rights are violated by the corrupt. Welcome, listeners, to the audiobook of Countering the Corrupt. The long title of the book describes what it is all about. The what, who, where, why, and how to of countering corruption. The foreword of the audiobook is written by Mr. Justice Ian Farlam, a retired judge of appeal in the Supreme Court of South Africa. This is what he said to introduce the book to listeners and readers. Corruption is one of the great scourges of our age. As this book makes clear, it is estimated that trillions of dollars are paid in bribes every year, and that developing regions lose 10 times more to corruption than they receive in foreign aid, with illicit outflows of the funds that they desperately need totaling more than $1 trillion per year. The reason for this is not a lack of laws prohibiting corruption in its various forms. There is no shortage of them, but the impunity enjoyed by those guilty of contravening them, resulting from their control of the institutions which are supposed to see to it that the law is enforced. This book pulls together the themes discussed at four conferences on the topic, which were held from 2014 to 2018 and were organized by the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung and the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa, which campaigns as Accountability Now, and of which the author is a co-founder and a director. The book succeeds admirably in achieving its main aim, which is to provide, in what the author calls a digestible and easily accessible format, the gist of those discussions. All persons with an interest in the combating of corruption in its various forms will find much to inform them as to the nature and seriousness of the problem and as to how it may best be countered. They will be encouraged by the details which are given of countries where the necessary public will to vote a corrupt regime out of office has been created and where satisfactory measures have been or are being taken to root out corruption, to recover some, at least, of the proceeds thereof, and to punish the offenders. The book also contains an enlightening chapter on the protection of whistleblowers, by whose help many corrupt schemes can be frustrated, and the miscreants responsible therefore punished. It is written by Cynthia Stimple, herself a distinguished whistleblower, who saved South African Airways, and ultimately the South African taxpayers, 256 million rand, by courageously and to her own personal detriment, disclosing a proposed illegal procurement transaction. The book has been published at a very appropriate time, because in mid-2021, unless the pandemic makes a postponement unavoidable, a special session of the United Nations General Assembly is to be held on corruption to deal with such issues as grand corruption, kleptocracy, and state capture. Colombia has already given notice of its intention to propose the establishment of an international anti-corruption court, modeled in some respects on the International Criminal Court, which was set up by the Statute of Rome. The book contains compelling arguments why this proposal should be accepted. A court based on the complementarity principle, as is the International Criminal Court, may prove, as the author says, to be the most elegant solution to the problem. This is because countries not desirous of having their leaders internationally prosecuted would accordingly be incentivized to impose the anti-corruption and integrity measures on the home front. All persons involved in any way with the special session will be well advised to obtain copies of the book. It will enable them fully to understand the issues at stake and to participate meaningfully in the debate. The chapter, which should prove of great assistance to those participating in the special session, whether or not they decide in favour of the establishment of an international anti-corruption court, contains an account of a brilliant proposal by the Honourable Kate O'Regan, a former justice of the South African Constitutional Court, that the sanctions scheme applied by the World Bank in respect of development projects funded by the bank should be followed and, where necessary, adapted by governments, lenders, and procurers of goods and services when entering into procurement contracts. The essence of the scheme, as applied by the bank, is that those to whom money has been lent have to account for every item of expenditure connected to the loan. If a credible and complete paper trail of the expenditure is not provided on a monthly basis, the bank simply stops advancing money, and, in the absence of an accountable explanation for the failure so to provide, the borrower is blacklisted. This system of sanctions effectively stamps out corrupt activities because the contractors, as it is put, prefer the prospect of return business in future above the prejudice of being blacklisted. While this book records the joint conferencing efforts of Accountability Now and the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung Rule of Law in Sub-Saharan Africa program, which is based in Nairobi, its relevance is global. Preface by Dr. Arne Wolf. It took 55 years of my life before I came into contact with corruption for the first time. It was in April 2014, and I had just spent a month in Kenya as the new head of the Rule of Law Program for Sub-Saharan Africa. The project advisor from our office had invited me to his home, and on a Friday evening, my driver Jacob and I were on our way. It was already dark and raining in torrents. Shortly before we reached our destination, we were stopped along Ngong Road by a single policeman wrapped in a rain cape. He asked the driver for his driver's license, warning triangles, emergency aid kit, and whatever else was needed for safe driving. After the driver was able to show the policeman everything, he came to my passenger side and knocked on the window. I lowered the window and greeted him. With a friendly smile, he asked me for soda. Since I thought I knew what soda meant, I reached out to the back seat and handed him a can of Red Bull. With shock written all over his face, he took the can, greeted me, wished me a good trip, and disappeared. In the meantime, Jacob had put everything back in the trunk. He took a seat at the wheel and asked what the policeman wanted. I told him the story about the soda, and my driver started to laugh heartily. Surprised, I asked him what was so funny about it. Jacob explained to me that in Kenya, soda is a euphemism for a bribe. They would also ask for chai or tea or lunch. So the policeman wanted money from me, yet I just gave him a can of Red Bull, real soda. He seemed contented anyway, and I had my first corruption experience. This rather small incident, coupled with widespread reports of grand corruption cases in Kenya, prompted me to hold the first anti-corruption conference of the Rule of Law program in July 2014 at Entebbe, Uganda. Participants from various sub-Saharan African states described the corruption situation in their countries of origin, and lawyer Patrick Loch Otieno, or PLO Lumumba, who is known far beyond Kenya's borders, gave a moving and memorable speech against corruption. From that moment on, it was clear to me how widespread the cancer of corruption in sub-Saharan Africa had become, and what a destructive effect corruption has on the rule of law. Not only hinders their development, but it destroys all trust in them. When people feel and realize that it is not the rule of law that shapes the framework of their daily lives, but greed, dishonesty, disloyalty, and financial power, they turn away from this element that constitutes democracy and leave state power to those who can buy it. As a result, the fight against corruption became an integral part of our work for democracy and the rule of law. Paul Hoffman, the author of this book, will discuss this in more detail. He, a director of Accountability Now in South Africa, knows how to inspire people to fight corruption and give them hope. He not only knows how to uncover cases of corruption, but also knows how to prevent their effects. A special attribute of his is to develop ideas, both along and with others, on how corruption can be curbed. This book describes and explains ways and means of doing so. The CAS Rule of Law Program, Anglophone Sub-Saharan Africa, is very grateful to Paul Hoffman for his tireless fight against corruption and the fruitful cooperation of recent years. It has raised our awareness of this cancer that is destroying democracy and society and helped us find allies in the fight against it. One way of countering corruption that is not discussed in detail in this book, but which in my experience is quite effective, would be the establishment of an administrative justice system in the states of sub-Saharan Africa. This would make it possible for acts of administration at all levels, including the police and security forces, to be immediately reviewed for legality by a specialized jurisdiction. In Germany, there's not even a lawyer's requirement for these matters in the first instance, and the costs are low. In addition, this branch of the court has the obligation to investigate on its own initiative. Thus, finding the truth is not left to the often contradictory arguments of the parties in dispute. The possibility of having acts of sovereign authority reviewed, such as administrative orders, orders to pay fines, or granted or refused permits, not only contributes to the transparency of sovereign administration, but also helps in curbing corruption. Further, it helps in building trust in society because citizens are granted the procedurally simple right to defend themselves against acts from above. As a result, they can act on an equal footing with the state administration and do not see themselves as victims. For clarification, I am aware that there will never be a total eradication of corruption. Man is too fallible for that. Or, as Pope Francis said only recently, unfortunately, corruption is a recurring story. It repeats itself. Then someone comes to clean it up, but then it starts again, and you wait for someone to come and put an end to this deformity. Only if that someone is all of us, we the citizens of our respective states, will corruption be defeatable. We are all called upon to do so, regardless of our ethnic or religious affiliation. By the way, when I had to renew my Kenyan work permit this summer, the process dragged on for an unusually long time. Although this could be attributed to the corona pandemic, it reached the point even they could no longer explain the delay. So, I asked a confidant to ask at the immigration office when I could expect the renewal. He was told, orally of course, that if you pay 120,000 Kenyan shillings, that's the equivalent of about $1,100 US, soda, you can get it at short notice. I didn't pay, but I still got the work permit eventually. I'd like to thank all those involved in their efforts to make this publication possible. This applies first of all to Paul Hoffman, the author, but also to those who supported and helped him in his work, and us in completing this book, the gratitude of the CAS Rule of Law Program to you all. Finally, without the conferences organized by this program, this publication would not have been possible. one of the people who was always present and who has significantly contributed to the realization of the conferences is the CAS project advisor, Peter Vendor. This book also expresses his commitment and gratitude to all in the fight against corruption. Power does not corrupt. Fear corrupts. Perhaps the fear of loss of power. John Steinbeck. Prologue. Here, dear listeners, is an extract from an email which I wrote to the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung Nairobi team on the 2nd of April 2020. At the time, I was locked down in Cape Town. The team was living under the Kenyan curfew due to the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. Here is what I wrote. I will draw on the materials generated at the conferences and will, in collaboration with authors who are so inclined, update same where necessary. A critical approach is allowed. The book will be about 200 to 250 pages. In the same style as Confronting the Corrupt, the book is for general public consumption. It is the intention to synthesize and to make more generally available and accessible the fruits of our combined labors over the years. We can consider the possibility of appendices of important treaties, judgments, and laws. The working title, The What, the Who, and the How To of Countering Corruption. The conferences to which reference is made are all on one overarching theme: identifying corruption as the primary enemy of the rule of law. Grand corruption undermines delivery of human rights. Corruption with impunity is a foe which threatens the successful inculcation of a culture of human rights worldwide. This pernicious culture of impunity will make the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs as they are known, difficult to achieve by 2030 as planned, or even at all. There exists in the deliberations of the conference delegates at all four gatherings a rich vein of research results, the fruits of varied experience, and the synthesis of great expertise. Allowing the valuable information emerging from the deliberations to be swallowed up and lost in dreary annual reports, contemporaneous press coverage, and the anecdotes of those who attended does not do justice to the work involved in preparations and presentations that went into the success of the conferences. The working title swiftly became Countering the Corrupt, although Ending the Impunity of the Corrupt came close. Giving a book a title before it is written is like naming a baby before it is born. A risky decision. Indeed, the writing of a book is rather like having a baby. The conception is enjoyable, the pregnancy seemingly interminable and ever heavier. The birthing